This is Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, and you're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling.
One sweet me.
The holy breakdown.
When they're not covering the sports world, they're talking about the world of professional wrestling.
It's Sports Guys Talking Wrestling.
Now with Justin Simmons, here's Stu Myrick.
He's tried the forearm, he's tried the calf crusher, he's tried the 450. And Brock is still standing.
Toss it off the elbow pad, eyes on Lesnar. One more attempt.
Interception.
Get out of it.
Thunderous. Lesnar, the cover.
Has tied it. And Survivor Series.
We're tied up.
Here is your winner, the Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar.
What an incredible match. Center of the ring again. Angle Lock has been on for a long, long time.
Shane's ankle might be broken by now.
What the hell? It is pedigreed as captain.
Why?
What on?
What is going on? What?
Kurt Angle has been eliminated.
I have no idea how to explain what just happened.
Are the two brothers-in-law working together?
Was it maybe just perhaps sympathy on the part of Triple H?
There's no sympathy in Triple H.
Maybe Triple H want to finish the job.
Because that would be the most Triple H thing to happen. Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the Horn, 104.9 AM, 1260. Happy Thanksgiving to one and all. Stu Myrick, Justin the Smash Simmons. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, Stu. Still a couple, at least a day away.
Yeah?
You already have it all prepped? Everything finished?
I have nothing to prep.
Got all the jams done?
I will be spending Thanksgiving with Jarrah and the Cowboys.
Oh, they take care of y'all.
Oh, yeah. I went last year. They had a pretty good spread in the press box.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. You know.
My cousin said he's going to that game, so I don't know. I would have been jealous maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Now, when you say your cousin, you don't mean like Bucky's cousin or BK's cousin.
No, my legitimate cousin.
You have a cousin.
Yeah, I have.
Okay. Bucky's cousin and BK's cousin like to place wagers.
Oh, no, I'm Hispanic. I have many cousins. It's true. I was like, no, legitimately Hispanic, lots of cousins.
Okay, well, there we go.
But yeah, he said he was going to Texas Cowboy Stadium for the first time, or AT&T, whatever you want to call it. I'm like, it's exciting, man. It's a great time. You know, I wish the Cowboys were doing better. But
yeah, well, I mean, it's the Chargers, so they'll have a chance. They'll have a chance.
And it's Thanksgiving. You always play well on Turkey Day for the most part.
They'll have as much of a chance as AJ Styles had against Brock Lesnar.
Why'd you even pick him? You picked Styles to win.
I did. Because I
was
trying
to figure out what was going on there.
Because I like AJ Styles.
Well, I do too, but
we had him on the show.
I know.
So I had to give him a little love.
I'm very thankful for that, but
I mean, Brock did get the win. You heard the audio there courtesy WWE Network. I would say that was probably match of the night. At Survivor Series,
yeah. I mean, the hype, I mean, for a match that got built in like 2 weeks, I mean, I think it met pretty much all the expectations that you could
have. It was better than, I will say this, it was better than most people expected.
Oh, well, I mean, I expected a decent match out of the two, for sure. I mean, it's the best, one of the best workers in the world against the Beast, Brock Lesnar, who, you know, any power move is going to look realistic with him.
Right.
And, man, I was scared for AJ a couple of times in there. There's a few times I thought he was legitimately hurt.
Yeah, it was...
Those knees that he was throwing to his chest, like at the beginning of the match, I was like, oh. I was like, as soon as he put his head down, you know, he brought his head down, he put his knees in the AJ's chest, I was like, that's it, it's over.
Yeah, that was nuts. I mean, it was what you would expect from Brock Lesnar. It was what you would expect from AJ Styles, but all in all, yeah, it was a good match.
I'll tell you to you this: I would have preferred to have seen that as the main event, as opposed to the traditional Survivor Series matchup at the end.
Yeah,
and same thing with TakeOver. Also, with War Games, I would have preferred to have seen that somewhere along the card. I always think that your championship match should be the main event.
I'm that way, too. I always think, yeah, it should be the main event because those are your two top guys.
Yeah, and despite the fact that, you know, you have a specialty match built around the pay-per-view.
Right.
I mean, Survivor Series was always about
Survivor Series.
But in this case, we all knew that that matchup, AJ Styles, Brock Lesnar, first time ever WWE ring, was going to supersede anything else that
Absolutely.
You could possibly put on the card.
Well, and, you know, we weren't the only ones that were impressed because I want you to listen to none other than the advocate, Paul Heyman himself.
I'm shocked. Because I've been an AJ Styles fan since before I was supposed to be an AJ Styles fan. I watched AJ Styles before anybody here was supposed to watch AJ Styles. He is more phenomenal than he gives himself credit for. If you're not an AJ Styles fan, you shouldn't even be watching WWE. He's everything that Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and Ric Flair were to their generation, and he's updated it. He's evolved their styles to truly be the single most phenomenal in-ring performer I have ever had the honor and the pleasure of watching up close. I've been doing this my entire life. No one in the ring has ever compared to what I witnessed tonight when I had the best seat in the house and got to see AJ Styles up close. To you, sir, I have nothing but respect and admiration.
And the funny thing is, I totally agree. I mean, we followed AJ Styles his entire career. TNA, New Japan, Bullet Club.
The Indies.
Indies, and now...
ROH.
Yeah, ROH, now WWE. And, you know, it's one of the, you know, the WWE announcers, and they do what they're supposed to, and they do a fine job. But when they say that AJ Styles is probably the best wrestler in the company, that's truth. I would say that's truth.
Yeah, I really can't think of anybody who has a better all-around game at this moment in the WWE besides AJ Styles.
No, I couldn't either.
I mean, Finn Balor is going to get there eventually.
Finn, that was, you know, Finn Balor could be, you know, I think Finn Balor could get close. Obviously, guys like Kevin Owens.
And a lot of those guys. Flourish.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys. And they all came through the same route, you know.
If Seth Rollins stays healthy, he can be one of those guys, like AJ, that can take his competitor to another level.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of talent coming through the pipeline here soon. Also, because NXT is pretty loaded as well. So,
well, and that's kind of the funny thing. We'll get to that here in a second. Some debuts happening on Raw and SmackDown. What other match surprised you?
Survivor Series wise?
Yeah, Survivor Series. I mean, well, let's talk Triple H.
Isn't that kind of what you expected?
Yes and no. I think it was yes, I expected it. No, but I was hoping it wouldn't happen.
But we all know.
I know. It's...
Yes. He even had his own specialty red T-shirt.
That's the other thing. So you had everybody in either Raw or SmackDown shirts, except for Triple H and John Cena.
And Shane.
And Shane. Oh, yeah. Shane had his own jersey.
Yeah.
Like he always does. So.
But still.
But Triple H, you know, first he screws Angle.
This is a guy that hasn't wrestled all year since WrestleMania.
Well, because he doesn't.
Oh, except for the house shows.
Because he's busy with running NXT.
I know, but like it's the same thing with Shane. It's like, didn't Shane eliminate like two people?
And again, my problem with that is which Triple H am I supposed to like? You know, which Triple H are we going to have? Are we going to have the Triple H that has created NXT, one of the hottest brands, and has given us some incredible matches and shows? Or are we going back to the Triple H, the authority figure on Raw?
I think you get Stephanie McMahon's husband when he steps in between the ropes.
And here we go again. You know, it's like, I guess they've been off TV too long, and so we just had to bring Stephanie and Triple H back because...
It's WrestleMania season.
Because no, it's not, actually. Not yet.
The road's going to start here soon.
Well, Royal Rumble, but that's not for a couple months. That's 2 months away. That's end of January.
Yeah, but
you got Clash of Champions next month.
That's
it. Which is a SmackDown pay-per-view.
But we're almost at the end of November already.
By the way, I did hear that WWE's looking to cut back on pay-per-views.
Thank God.
Thank God. It was too hard to follow.
Well, I mean, are they going to cut back on pay-per-views as in they're going to cut back on brand-only pay-per-views? Or
That's my guess.
Are they going to be combined shows again?
Maybe they'll do some combined ones. I don't know.
I don't know. You have the network. You can do whatever you want.
Right, but
because you're not
it's
selling...
just too many. It's just too many. It's too many to try to keep up with.
Well, obviously, it's affected creative in at least a certain way where they can't come up with a storyline for half the people at the same token. But
true.
That's always been their problem, regardless of how many pay-per-views they've had.
In fact, it was a funny thing. Austin Aries made an appearance, I think it was at House of Hardcore this weekend, and cut a promo. But he basically said, look, they got rid of me because they didn't have anything for me. You know, I mean, it wasn't anything about added to anything. That it was just they didn't have anything for me.
Well, what are you supposed to do with him?
Yeah,
I mean, you have a underutilized 205 Live roster as it is. We saw the match between him and Neville three times?
Yes,
and he never won.
Yeah,
what else are you gonna do with it?
And I think that's part of the problem with the 205 roster. You've pigeonholed them to where they can only it's only within that division. Austin Aries is a fantastic wrestler.
Well, yeah, former ROH champion.
Former ROH champion, former TNA champion. I mean, and he's wrestled, you know, a lot of the guys that are on the main roster right now.
Well, he's one of those small guys that wrestles well with the big guys.
Yeah.
Kind of like Danielson, or Daniel Bryan, whatever you want to call him.
Right.
Because, I mean, you can easily slot him into a 205 Live spot because he's a smaller guy, but he wrestles heavy.
And I think that's where maybe they need to start rethinking their philosophy on the cruiserweight division. Maybe start mixing them in with the regular roster. Although then it's that kind of okay. Then you've got more wrestlers to try to find space for. So then do you split them? You know, put some of them on SmackDown. I mean, it's kind of a quandary. What do you think of Shield New Day?
I mean, an excellent match.
Yeah.
Exactly what I expected.
It was good. It was good.
I knew the New Day was going to bring it for sure.
Yeah.
And the Shield was going to match him step for step.
Were you surprised that Asuka was the sole survivor in the women's match?
No, because I actually picked Team Raw. I had a good feeling they were going
to
win.
Yeah. I mean, we knew they were going to win, but were you surprised that Asuka was like the sole survivor?
No. You already knew that, like, the way that they had to build her up, she's only been trouncing over. How can I say this? Trouncing over the Hammond Agers, so to speak, the jobbers,
yeah,
the local.
God
people.
Bless Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, so she'd been taking out a few of those, but this is the first time they've really pushed her as a strong competitor on the main level scene.
Right.
So it was something that I thought was fitting. I mean, Nia Jax still hasn't really worked out the kinks just yet. She's improved, but then she had that.
Yeah.
Mishap with management because she wasn't happy or whatever, and you knew she's going to have to pay the price for that for a while, so she's not going to get the big push. And then Dana Brooke, I haven't even heard about her for a while, so I forgot she was kind of on the roster there for a bit, right?
Yeah.
And then you talk about...
Well, she lost in a squash to Asuka on Raw.
Yeah.
I mean, that was basically it. So
I was surprised to see her. But then you have the SmackDown side, and we get, Natalya?
Right.
Would have been a nice time to bring...
Well, and then you had on Raw, you had Paige returning.
Yeah, I was going to say it would have been a nice little...
Yeah, but it was on Monday Night. Yeah, it was on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah,
which,
but I figured you could have used one of the Bellas in that spot.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, not one of them, which is the one that's going to return Brie.
You know, SmackDown, when they left SmackDown, you know, after Charlotte beat Natalya for the Women's Championship, they kind of left that fifth spot on Team SmackDown, you know, TBD, and then they just... They went ahead and put Natalya in it.
On social media. And
yeah,
stuff. So it was just kind of underwhelming because it kind of signified the fact that, okay, you already knew that Raw was going to win.
We had Paige coming back. Did that move your needle any?
Of course, man. It's Paige.
Yeah.
Paige, you have to. She was only like 22 when she won the belt.
That's true.
She's only like 25 now.
Yeah.
Everybody has some issues.
By the way, she looked paler.
Is that possible?
I think she looked paler, and I thought around with Alberto El Patron, I thought she would, at least get a little bit of a tan.
Nah, I think her hair just got darker.
Maybe. Well, and I've heard they're split. I've heard they split.
That's the rumor that was going around. Yeah. But either way, I'm happy to see her back, and hopefully that she can get back on track with her career. You have to remember, it wasn't all personality issues, and it wasn't the whole frappening.
Well, there was injuries. There was an injury.
It was mainly injury, more so than anything else.
Well, actually, it was the injury that got her out, and then that's when the rest of the stuff happened.
Yeah, so. But I was like, people tend to lament over the leaked photos and then like the wild relationship with Del Rio or Patron, wherever you want to call him right now. But the truth of the matter is that she was seriously hurt. She had like a neck issue, right? That kept her out of action.
Right.
And then when she came back, she still wasn't healthy. So she had sat out longer, but it was good to see her back because
it was.
I mean, think about it. She's one of those wrestling prodigies. She comes from a wrestling family and she happened to be the one that made it. The WWE felt very comfortable with giving her a push right off the bat when they brought her up to the main roster as the anti-diva and got her the belt, on her first night on the roster?
That's right. Defeated AJ Lee.
So this whole revolution, she's basically the start of it.
That's true.
Paige. It's not Charlotte. Well, it's not Sasha.
And she didn't debut alone. She brought in Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville from NXT.
Yeah.
I got to see Sonya Deville live at NXT when they were at the HEB Center at Cedar Park.
What did you not see live this past week?
Man, it was a great
Survivor
weekend.
Series, right?
It was a great weekend. And Sonya Deville, she's tough.
Oh,
she's
I like that.
She's a legit badass.
I like that trio pairing.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, especially the Raw women, they needed an extra boost.
Well, guess what? SmackDown got a boost too because you had Ruby Riott show up.
Yeah, well deserved.
And she's hanging out with Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan.
Ha! Yeah.
So, in fact, I sent a message and we'll pull the curtain back a little bit. Sarah Logan used to be known as Crazy Mary Dobson on the indie scene and is currently engaged to one of our dearest friends, one half of War Machine, Ray Rowe.
Yeah.
Who's, of course, he and Hanson are killing it over in New Japan. So I sent a message to Ray, told him congratulations, send our best to Sarah. But, yeah, it was kind of like, hold it, that's Sarah.
Yeah, hey, that's part of her
Hey,
team.
I met her at Texoma Pro. So yeah, good stuff. Good stuff to see them. The other thing that I had a problem with was the five-man booth. Bringing in every commentator for a Raw and SmackDown, have them spell them or have my preference would have been Cole, Corey Graves, and Saxton. That way you've got one Raw, one SmackDown, and Corey who does both.
Oh, yeah, I guess that would have been, like, a good fix to have Corey Graves because he does both.
I mean, granted, it's in Houston, so it's kind of hard to leave
But you can't leave Booker T out in Houston in his hometown.
By the way, Booker and Corey Graves, good Lord, that's a comedy act in and of itself. Listen to those two. It was fantastic. Anyway, you had that. And then Monday Night Raw, Miz had a bad weekend. First, he loses to Baron Corbin at Survivor Series. So Baron Corbin now has the one up on Miz. And then turn right around Monday night, loses the Intercontinental Championship to Roman Reigns.
Of all people. And you knew he was going to get it too because all they were saying on the commentary was, this will complete the Grand Slam for Roman Reigns.
And it
He's
did.
He's never won the Intercontinental Championship.
And it did. They said, what, the 21st Grand Slam champion, I think is what they said.
Something like that.
I think it's the ninth under the current structure.
Yeah, I was just, but so, like the structure's cool. Changed so many times.
It has, and it's just crazy. But anyway, congratulations.
And then
Roman
what about
Reigns.
That default European championship? Where does that fall in the defunct title line?
Well,
when did it get merged
into? It's defunct. So that would have been, that would have been something back in the day of the European championship, just like the hardcore championship. So you got to imagine that Ambrose and Rollins will probably regain the tag titles because you're going to, I would think if they're going to keep the Shield around for a while, Now, if they're not, then no. This may, in fact, this may feed into the heel turn for Roman.
No, because we're almost. There's no heel turn for Roman Reigns.
I know.
Stu, did you hear him try to people? He tried to sneak that one through, making you think it's actually going to happen. Don't believe that. We already know what's up. I can tell you your WrestleMania main event right now.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Lesnar and Reigns.
Yeah, barring injuries, that's going to be your main event. With Roman Reigns coming out on top.
With Roman Reigns. That's right. That's right. All in all, Survivor Series, it wasn't a bad show. It was... And they ended on time.
Yeah.
4 hours. Because everybody was afraid it was going to go 5 hours. But
yeah,
it went 4 hours. Now, you had the two-hour pre-show, which,
why?
Elias beating Matt Hardy, and then Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn defeating Breezango, and then Enzo Amore beating Kalisto. So he's still the Cruiserweight champion. We'll see who steps up to challenge Enzo.
Yeah, that's my question with the Cruiserweight Championship. It's like
Mustafa Ali, I guess. Maybe that'd be the.
But is he really? I don't know. There's got to be somebody else on that roster that makes you want to tune in to watch 205 Live, because that's what they were thinking when they gave him the belt. Is that people will tune in to see Enzo because he's like charismatic and people like to talk with him, and he should be able to carry that brand. But
you
he can't.
Say, no, he can't.
And it's not because he's not charismatic.
Yeah, well, because he can talk and he's charismatic, but he doesn't have the moves.
But
that's
his ring work isn't bad. I think the internet just really likes to give him a lot of guff just because he's going against guys that are really, really good.
That's the problem.
Because they're smaller.
There's the problem. It's comparing Enzo Amore to a Cedric Alexander or Rich Swann. Or Akira Tozawa, or those.
Oh, guys, so. I love Tozawa, and that's what's so sad. It's like you have one of the best talents available in the world in Tozawa, and besides that one little championship program that he had with Neville, haven't heard anything from him since. And I really thought they were going to make it a serious contender to let him hold the belt for longer than what, a day.
Yeah, I thought so. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk NXT TakeOver. We'll talk Ring of Honor and everything else that happened this weekend in wrestling. You're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260, streaming worldwide at hornfm.com and the Horn Austin app.
Worship us.
This is Almighty Christopher Daniels. I am a national treasure, an inspiration to children everywhere, and the man with the rear that makes the girls cheer. And you are listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. You're welcome.
Man, did you see his back? Did you see the pictures of his back?
Yeah.
I mean, I saw it up close and personal.
Wait. You're just talking about his back, not his backside, right?
No, his back, as in between his shoulder blades.
Yes.
By the way, and thanks to everybody at Ring of Honor. You heard the Young Bucks at the very beginning. I got to chat with them. And we'll talk about Ring of Honor here in just a second. And, of course, Christopher Daniels. NXT TakeOver was interesting. Well, let's back up a little bit. So I did get to go to the NXT house show at the HEB Center in Cedar Park on Thursday night.
I know. I was so jealous. I wish I was joining for that
Well, front row seats.
I know. I was like, man.
Which I was shocked. So huge kudos. Huge thanks to Joe and Adam in the PR department at WWE for setting me up. Fantastic show. Saw a lot of Wrestle Circus shirts. Saw some Inspire Pro shirts. It was good to see those out.
Any Sports Guys Talking Wrestling shirts?
Well, no.
Besides yours?
No, because the only people... I'm trying to think if there was anybody on the.
I was gonna say everybody.
Cassius Ohno, I think, has one.
I was gonna
I think
say
I've given him one.
Everybody else on that roster.
There are more. Yes, because Adam Cole has one.
Yeah.
Adam Cole. Yeah.
That
yeah,
dude has
that
one.
That guy. This guy.
Adam Cole, baby!
Which, by the way, he had to get 7 staples in his head.
Whoa.
Yeah, he took
that same
a spot.
Night?
Yes.
Jeez.
He took a spot. It was, I'm trying to think. Was it? Yeah, it was a 6-man. It was Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, versus who was it? See, I've blanked out. But anyway, and Adam Cole had a spot at the far side of the ring from where I was, and I guess he hit his head on the steps, and he stood up, and the crimson was flowing. I mean, he had a crimson mask going, and they had to actually take him in the back and get him patched up, get him stapled up, and then he came back out and
finished up.
Yeah, jeez. And finished the match.
Jeez.
So it was pretty impressive.
You know, that's the one thing I always get, and I think most wrestlers would agree with this, is that anytime anybody wants to say it's fake, and I'm just like, no, it's not fake. Are you kidding? Like, you've seen pro athletes go out there and they play through injuries, and, you know, they might have a tweaked hamstring or maybe their finger was dislocated. There is nobody tougher out there in any sport than a professional wrestler. I dare you to find me one, because professional wrestlers, pound for pound, tend to be the toughest athletes, and yes, they are athletes, that you will find out there.
It was Sanity. So it was them versus Sanity. So Eric Young, Alexander Wolfe, and Killian Dane.
Well, wouldn't you agree, Stu? I mean, I can't think of... I was going to say, you know, you've been in many locker rooms, and I mean, don't get me wrong, professional athletes, they're tough people.
Well, look at TakeOver. I mean, did you see Alexander Wolfe, the gash on his head that he took during the War Games match?
Yeah, but you finished the match. That's your job.
And they did.
And they do. And that's what makes a consummate professional.
Crazy. So,
and I just think that people sometimes, they were like, you know, the ones that are casual fans, where they're like, it's fake, right? It's like, no.
So let me ask you, what did you think of their version of War Games?
I mean, for there not to be, like, any blood, because there's not supposed to be blood, I thought it was all right. I thought it was pandemonium. I thought it was exciting. But again, it shouldn't have been the main event.
It wasn't bad. I was surprised they let the tables and weapons into the match, because they didn't do that back in the day.
No, but I mean...
Because, I mean, the structure itself was the weapon. That was the ominous weapon.
Yeah, but when you have Hell in the Cell and that's supposed to be your ominous structure now under your banner, and there's nothing supposed to be more dangerous than Hell in a Cell.
But the three teams.
Yeah, they had the two rings.
It actually worked. They had the two rings.
And they had the cage around it.
I think they could have probably worked it a little bit better, because there were a few points in the match when they were concentrating everything on one ring.
Yeah.
They could have spread it out a little more.
I think that was just for production purposes, though.
I think it was just, you know, second nature, you know.
Well, at the same token, you have to take in part what they're filming for home and what they're filming to put out on video and things like that. So,
and I will
they want the best shots.
Yeah, and I will say, back in the day, that was a hard shot to do, was the, you know, having people in two rings.
Yeah, you were never going to get any real close-ups of the action with two rings at the same time. A lot of the old War Game footage is very sporadic. It just cuts away to certain things. And this one, you know, the WWE likes to have a lot of its stuff timed so they can catch the impact of the big moments.
And remember, the first few War Games matches weren't meant to be on TV. Those were live events.
Exactly.
That was the Great American Bash back in the day. They weren't meant to be on TV. It was just, you know, you got lucky if you were at one of those shows.
One of the Great American Bash tours. Yeah.
The Four Horsemen with J.J. Dillon versus Dusty, Nikita, the Road Warriors, and Paul Ellering. Which, you know, was kind of cool, because Paul Ellering was out there with his boys, the Authors of Pain. So it was good to see him.
Who competed at Warriors?
Plus, at ringside, none other than Arn Anderson, the Enforcer.
Well, you couldn't have War Games without one of the Horsemen, could you?
Dustin Rhodes. It was good to see him.
Just as Dustin?
Dustin, yeah. In fact, he's...
Did he ever compete at War Games as Dustin Reynolds or Dustin Rhodes?
He did, yes.
Did he? I remember the...
Like in that early 90s version of WCW?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I remember the... Was it... He fought Blacktop Bully on that Blacktop...
That was at a... Oh, which pay-per-view was that?
I don't know, but he's on...
It was in the back of a semi.
Yeah, I was like, I know he competed in that match. I'm not sure if he competed at War Games, but he might have.
I think he did a War Games.
I will have to double-check.
But it wasn't bad. I think they did it For the changes, I think they still did it. They still did it justice.
Well, you have to remember, this is a completely different generation that's viewing this. So the concept of War Games after everything, because you remember when you saw War Games the first time, it was a new concept. It was fresh. It was amazing, right?
But, and it was mind blowing.
But if you're 8 years old now and you watch WWE television with your parents or your cousin or whatever,
you've seen Hell in a Cell.
You've seen TLC.
You've seen Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, you've seen Pajama Christmas.
This was a little Elimination Chamber because you had the other teammates in these shark cages.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So, I mean, they had to put their own spin on it. I mean, they couldn't just take the concept full and just take it. And it probably wouldn't have lived up to the hype that other people were expecting. So the way it came out, I thought it was great for what it was. And it gave us some good moments. So
the surprise was Lars Sullivan. He is, you talk about a monster. And so we got to see this match in Cedar Park.
Okay.
It ended in a DQ or a double count out or something like that. But Lars Sullivan he's one of those, I think they're trying to kind of pose him as kind of a monster, big hoss type.
Well, you want somebody to go against Braun Strowman that's going to be young.
I think he's the one.
And he has the strength to do it. The way that he would pick up Ono, because Ono is a big dude. And just to move him around the way he did, just the raw power that this guy had. I was quite impressed.
Crazy. The Aleister Black Velveteen Dream
match.
What
a match.
That was I think that may have been match of the night.
If you're
and I would have thought of that with Patrick Clark, but he has really owned this Velveteen Dream thing. Kind of like Dustin Rhodes did with Goldust.
Yeah, it's been a beautiful melding of Prince and Rick Rude.
Yeah,
and he's been able to pull it off nicely. But
down to the tights. The airbrush tights. Yeah.
I finally saw it all come together, and I was like, this guy's perfect at that role. And their chemistry in the ring was so good. But the psychology, if you are a young wrestler, go look at that match. Because the psychology of that match where they were waiting, the spots where they did nothing. Think about it. They got responses doing nothing. That's how you know you have the crowd.
It was good stuff. By the way, congratulations to Andrade Cien Almas. Defeated Drew McIntyre to win the NXT Championship. And Drew McIntyre has I think it was an elbow injury.
He said bicep or elbow.
Bicep or elbow. I have not heard.
They were saying torn bicep. Possibly. Okay. I mean, those are just all rumors, you know.
Well, and we're hoping it's not too serious. Hoping he can get back in the ring. By the way, he and I chatted real quick at Cedar Park.
Yeah, well, he was still champion.
I mentioned. So I said, hey, by the way, I'm Brian Fritz's friend. Oh, hey, how you doing, man? We chit chat for a little bit. So, and then congratulations to our own Texas's own Ember Moon, now the NXT Women's Champion. In fact, did you see the shot? Matthew Palmer got on the network.
Yeah, I know.
Showtime Matthew Palmer got on the network cheering on his girl.
Who would have thought that they would have let her actually win in her home state?
Yeah, that's good stuff. That was TakeOver.
I don't think you're giving Cien Almas enough credit, though, because this is a guy.
Well, I know, but I got to get to Ring of Honor before
I know,
we go
but
break.
Almas so good.
I know, but okay.
Give him more love than McIntyre.
Okay, I will see that and raise you a flaming table.
It doesn't matter. Cien Almas came from nothing. This guy was an afterthought last year, and now he's champion.
No, he is. He is. Real quick, Ring of Honor. Oh, my God. Cody Rhodes and Christopher Daniels, the Flaming Table. So I get there early, and they're working this out. And they're trying. And I knew that a table was coming into play. I did not know he was going to set it on fire, and it was Daniels that set it on fire.
How did he set it on fire? Did he have to?
He came out, jumped out of the ring, grabbed lighter fluid and one of those lighters.
So it wasn't already like pre-dumped and stuff. He had to actually do it on the spot.
Sprayed it, lit it. It was on fire, and then he was going to throw Cody through it. It somehow got reversed, and then Cody powerbombed Christopher Daniels. And
yeah, that's why his back's all messed
up. And then I saw those burns. It was so funny, in fact. So I went in the back and Daniel said, "You know, that was my first flaming table. And my last."
Yeah. Man, I look.
It was crazy. It was absolutely nuts.
The fire, you can't fake the fire. You're going to go through it, and you're going to take a couple of burns. But, geez, I was hoping it was going to be in better condition than that. But I guess whose idea was it? Was it his?
I think it was theirs. I think it was theirs. Because I think this was supposed to be a blow-off to the feud.
Ah, okay.
Well, so.
If that's the case, I could definitely see where a flaming table would come into play.
Couple other news and notes from the weekend. Punishment Martinez won the Survival of the Fittest match, so he now has a Ring of Honor World Championship shot in his pocket. Defeated Flip Gordon, Silas Young, Jonathan Gresham, Shane Taylor, and Matt Taven. It was good to see Flip. He had a black eye. He got super kicked like a couple nights before at another wrestling card. So he was sporting a black eye when I saw him. Oklahoma City got to see Cheeseburger and the Unholy One, Gregory James.
Nice. Good to see Gregory James on the ROH.
Meanwhile, in Dallas, we got to see Dirty Andy Dalton defeat Lou Gotti.
Really?
Yeah. It was good.
That's good to see,
man. It was real good.
A couple of Texas guys on the map.
I bought Andy a beer, so you know he was happy.
Didn't spit in it, did he?
No. No, it was funny because Matt Taven was the only member of the Kingdom that advanced. Vinny Marsaglia got beat by Jonathan Gresham, who's so good, and then Flip Gordon beat TK O'Ryan.
I forget how good Gresham
was. Oh, they're so
good. Because we only seen him like once.
Got to see Motor City Machine Guns. I sent you the picture. Me and Chris Sabin.
Yes, I was like Chris Sabin.
Yeah, he was cool. He was very cool. Marty Scurll had a good weekend. Kenny King and Scorpio Sky. Kenny King beat Scorpio Sky to retain the World Television Championship. It was good to see Sky.
It's good to see him making some waves out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and we've seen his work. And I
think he's starting to get more. I think he's starting to get more Ring of Honor work too. So
I think that's what it seems like. I think he's going to become more of a regular player on the ROH scene here.
I think he is. One other note from Ring of Honor. They've made an. They're making the matches. We know it's going to be Cody and Dalton Castle for the World Championship at Final Battle in December. They have also set Motor City Machine Guns will defend against the Best Friends, Trent Beretta and Chuck Taylor.
Did you see the Best Friends promo at
World
Tag League?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. They're going to win World Tag League because they're best friends.
Well, and we love Trent. Trent Beretta is a great friend of the show, and he is so good.
Well, but in that World Tag League, they're going to have to go against War Machine.
I know. Oh, that'd be good.
There's a lot of good tag teams set up for World Tag League this year.
I know it. Oh, man, they're good.
Nobody has anything knows what I'm talking about unless you follow Japanese wrestling.
Right. Well, but, I mean, New Japan's got World Tag League. And Michael Elgin and Jeff Cobb are
Can you imagine that tag team together? Jeez, that's such an athletic,
Put
strong tag
those
team.
Two in with War Machine.
You.
Or those two in with Killer Elite Squad. Or a triple threat.
I don't know, man.
Oh, my God.
World Tag League's going to be good this year.
Ooh, that was
It's going to be really, really good.
That's going to be good. Oh, man.
So you will see.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll let you know what's happening across Texas. There's actually wrestling shows this weekend. You're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, and you're listening to The Horn.
Hey guys, this is Jay Lethal, the greatest first-generation wrestler, and you're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling.
And again, my thanks to everybody at Ring of Honor for giving me access this weekend. It was a fantastic night. Had a lot of fun. Got to see some friends. Saw Robert Langdon, the owner of Texoma Pro. It's good to see him. Saw our man, Ruthless Ryan Davidson.
Yeah.
It was great to talk to him. You heard the liner there from Jay Lethal, and he said the greatest first-generation wrestler. I saw this list Ring of Honor put out, the top five most decorated singles champions in Ring of Honor. And this does not include tag champions or six-man.
Okay.
Number one, Jay Lethal. Days as champion, 1,288 days.
Well, yeah, there was that point in time where he was carrying both championships, right. That and the television championship.
That he held the ROH Pure Championship, the World Television Championship twice, and, of course, the world title. And, yes, one of those times he held the world title and the TV title at the same time. Funny thing is, of the five, he's the only one that's not in WWE.
Well, he's just the only one that hasn't had a chance to go there yet.
The rest of the list is Nigel McGuinness, okay, who is now the commentator, one of the commentators for NXT. Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Number three is... Number four, after all. Of course, the only three-time...
He'll tell you he's number three.
And...
At least.
Bryan Danielson, a.k.a. Daniel Bryan, the American Dragon. So... Not a bad list to be on.
I would say so myself. And I mean, but you have to remember, Jay Lethal's been tearing it up since TNA.
He's I mean, it was good to talk to him. He was really cool. As was Dalton Castle. Dalton Castle was funny.
It's kind of funny because we've met the boys so many different times.
I know.
Never met Dalton Castle.
Finally got a picture of Dalton Castle. Got to meet him. He was great. He was fantastic. Of course, got to hang out with Ian Riccaboni, our good friend, the lead commentator.
Yep.
Talked to him for quite a while. We're going to get him on before Final Battle. He's been busy, as you might expect. So.
New dad.
Yeah.
Has a little one to take care of.
In fact, it was him and Colt Cabana on commentary. They've become quite the commentary team, in fact.
That doesn't surprise me.
And so they were on commentary Saturday night at the Dallas show. And Madison Rayne came out to comment, do the Women of Honor match with Deonna Purrazzo beating Karen Q in a no DQ match. That was damn. That was, they were laying into each other.
Well, yeah.
That was crazy.
I mean, it's different now. I mean, everybody can go. Everybody's willing to go full throttle each and every time they're out, man or woman. It doesn't matter.
It was nuts.
We're in like a whole new age of professional wrestling. So
it's
it's getting more interesting to see. Like, because you just really never know what you'll see now. You can see two women go at it in a hardcore style match.
Yeah.
You can see an intergender hardcore tag match. You
exactly
don't know what you'll get into unless you're there.
And you know what? That leads into where you can see some great wrestling live. Let's start in Beaumont Saturday. Hurricane Pro Wrestling will be at the Beaumont Civic Center Saturday, bell time, 7 p.m. Terrell Temple. Temple will be there. Terrell Temple will be there. Bryson Scott will be there. Top of Texas Pro Wrestling. They've got a Saturday and Sunday show at the Top of Texas WrestlePlex there in Amarillo. Bell time on Saturday is 7 p.m., and then Sunday it'll be 2 p.m. Among those scheduled to be there, Dot Mob, including our man Flawless Jerome Daniels. We got to get him on the show soon.
Yeah.
He was at the Ring of Honor show. He wanted to say hi. We got to get him on the show soon. Charlie Haas and Jake Logan scheduled to be at Top of Texas. And also Saturday night, Metroplex Wrestling, of course, they run their weekly shows. This one's called Strikes Back. That'll be Saturday night at the MPX Arena. Bell time, 8 p.m. DTF, Machiko-san, Hayan, and the Frisco Flame set to appear. Frisco Flame, a graduate of AAPW, great kid, it's kind of a Gold Dust type of gimmick, kind of Gold Dust Velveteen Dream, but he's a good kid and
this is where you work out those kinks with your character.
That's right, and
he's the whole point of independent professional wrestling is just trying to learn the trade as you
and he gets
do
to
it in front of a live crowd.
Right, and he'll get to do that at Metroplex Wrestling. So that's what we've got. I know there's a few more. You can always find them on Facebook and everything. As for us this weekend,
let me ask you real fast. Did you hear about Lucha Underground where they had done away with apparently the non-compete clause?
That was interesting. Yeah,
right?
I saw that. So Lucha Underground's coming back for season 4, and now they're loosening the restrictions. Now a lot of that is because a lot of their guys are currently on Impact Wrestling because of the agreement with them and AAA. AAA is kind of the, I don't want to say owner, but they're the backing behind Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
And I know that was a sore spot with several Lucha Underground wrestlers. I talked to several of them.
Well, yeah, because they'd
be
off.
That was one thing. Because, one, that was the thing with Ricochet. Because he couldn't go do another TV, U.S. TV promotion.
No.
Until they finished Lucha Underground Season 3.
Well, until they finished airing it.
Airing it,
because
right,
it was already in the can.
Right.
And he was sitting around
for
a lot of
like
other workers. For 6 months to a year, where they couldn't work on U.S. television because they had
to. He could do indies.
Yeah.
And we saw him at Wrestle Circus. Of course, he worked New Japan.
Yeah, but you're hurting his bottom. You're hurting the bottom line.
I mean, because most everybody thinks he's, feels he's going, we're going to see him in NXT probably first of the year.
And you probably will, but doesn't mean that you can't make your money when you deserve it. And all these guys are very hot commodities on the independent circuit.
That's
talking
true.
About hot commodities, James Ellsworth.
Yeah,
I heard that he's already taking his bookings. And
He should be. I think he gets to start appearing in February.
You know,
because after 90 day no compete,
I'm sure there's some people out there that probably made fun of him. But when you really look at it, man, think about it. Guy had a T-shirt. He was going against the best in the world at the top of the card, and he got to perform at WrestleMania.
The guy lived his dream. You can't fault him.
You can't take that away from him.
There are 1,000 wrestlers that would have loved to be in his
spot. Sell, right?
That's right. So, meanwhile, I will be at the Cowboys Chargers game. Of course, you can hear that game Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, 3:25 actually going to be on 101.9 and AM 1260 because there is Longhorn basketball on 104.9. on Thanksgiving, I'll be at the Cowboys game. And then Friday, the Longhorns wrap up the season. They're bowl eligible, but it'd be nice to get them 7 wins in the regular season.
Yeah.
To do that, they got to get past Texas Tech. That game kicks off at 7 p.m. That means Longhorn game day, 3 p.m. Join Chad and Bucky at Gate 25 at DKR, Texas Memorial Stadium. Or you can join Aaron Hogan, the Big Uglies, Casey Stutter, Lyle Sendline, and Rod Babers at Schultz Garden, the Texas Tail Garden. Again, that gets kicked off at 3 p.m.
It just hasn't been the same since A&M and them stopped playing.
No, it hasn't. And, of course, that will be all across the Austin Radio Network. And then I will be at DKR Saturday, 2 p.m., Lake Travis tries to get revenge against Converse Judson.
And that's where the game's at?
It's at DKR, second round of the playoffs.
And they're playing Converse Judson.
Converse Judson. Most people think whoever comes out of this game
wins the championship.
Is probably, at the very least, will be in the state title game.
I can see that. Whoever wins this game will at least get to the finals, possibly wins the whole thing. But, yeah, I don't know. I know that Lake Travis is turning on as of late, but Converse Judson's so good.
Julaw Williams is something. He really is, and
that's going to be
a challenge. That's going to be a challenge for the Lake Travis defense. They've gotten better, but they're still having problems with a mobile quarterback. And Julaw Williams is seriously mobile.
he's more than mobile.
So anyway,
that's for sure.
That's a 2 p.m. kickoff. It will be on 104.9 The Horn. So Mark and Bucky in the booth. I'll be on the sidelines. What do you got this weekend?
Oh, I'm just as busy for the most part this week. Obviously, Turkey Day. Parents are in town, so I'm going to have food with them. It should be a nice time. But after that, on Friday, I have college basketball at St. Ed's. And then on Saturday, I have college basketball at St. Ed's because they're hosting a tournament. So 2 days of college basketball. And then, of course, a throw-in on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Kit McConico and myself, Zach Christodoulidis, will be talking about soccer, as we always do.
Zach I miss him. Zach was our studio coordinator for the high school football for Lake Travis.
Oh, yeah.
God, he was so good.
Oh,
I miss him.
No, Zach's the best in the business, I'm telling you.
He really is.
I was not making that up. But, yeah, busy weekend, and obviously I'm looking forward to it, though, because I love college basketball. I love calling it, so I can't wait to be there. Yeah.
Cool. It's one of those things I have to be finished with football before I can get into basketball. So, but, hey, the Longhorns, there's buzz around them because of Mo Bamba and everything, so we'll see what happens.
But this is what always happens to me during high school football season. When the playoffs come around, I don't have as much work, so I already, start transitioning into basketball mode. It's just one of those things.
Yeah. Follow Justin on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at The Smash Simmons. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Stu Myrick. That's StewMyrick. You can follow the show on Twitter at SGTWATX. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. We are proud to be the official broadcast partner of the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, and we are proud to be part of the great local lineup, live and local, on the flagship station for the Texas Longhorns and your radio home in Austin for the Dallas Cowboys. 104.9 The Horn, catch us Wednesday nights, 9 p.m., and you can catch us anytime on demand at hornfm.com under the On Air tab or on your favorite podcast platform. For Justin, I'm Stu. Again, hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday, and we will see you at the matches.